evening and welcome to A Taste of Torah, where the Jewish community comes together to listen and to learn. Each Sunday evening, we'll be exploring the depths of Torah in a unique and challenging way. I'm Zalman Umlis, and we're happy that you could share part of your day with us.
Zuzah dedicates our home to the service of God. It establishes a certain tone in the Jewish home, and it reminds us that even when we're not in the shul, even when we're not in the yeshiva, even when we are engaged in the daily, mundane, and routine tasks of everyday living, the eating, the sleeping, the paying bills, family entertainment, even at these mundane moments, we must be aware that ultimately, every Jew has a responsibility to God to turn the Jewish home into a replica of the Jewish temple.
A Jewish home is distinguishable to any stranger from the moment he approaches the front door. Affixed to the right doorpost, two-thirds of the way up, there is bound to be a long, thin container, often ornate. Inside is a rolled-up parchment containing the words of two paragraphs from the Torah. This piece of parchment is known as the mezuzah. The first paragraph is from the book of Deuteronomy, Devarim, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. It begins with that anthem of Jewish life recited so many times over thousands of years, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. The second paragraph, also from Devarim, includes chapter 11, verses 13 through 21. It is in these two paragraphs that God hands down the commandment of the mezuzah, which in fact is affixed to the doorpost of every room in the house, aside from that of the bathroom and of other similar inappropriate places. In each of these, mention of the mezuzah is contained in one verse, with the identical five words. Uchsavtem al mezuzas beisecha uvisharecha. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. However, these words cannot be taken alone. Rather, they must be absorbed mentally within the themes of the preceding verses. The first paragraph speaks of God's unity and our acceptance of the yoke of Hashem, loving Him, learning Torah, and transmitting our heritage to our children and disciples. The second paragraph deals with our duty to observe God's commandments, His mitzvos, and the reward or punishment our behavior brings upon us in this world and in the world to come. The laws of writing the text of the mezuzah are strict, similar to the laws of writing a Sefer Torah and Tefillin. The scribe must be more than just a good calligrapher. He must be God-fearing and have total awareness of the importance of his task and the intricacies thereof as specified by Jewish law. Therefore, one should take great care to purchase a mezuzah only from a scribe endorsed by a reliable rabbinical authority. Of course, we are speaking of the parchment and text, and not the protective case. Tonight on A Taste of Torah, we'll try to explain this mitzvah of mezuzah, the role which the mezuzah plays in our daily lives. We are joined by Rabbi Fravel Wagner, spiritual leader of the Young Israel of Forest Hills, and Rabbi Yitzhak Breidowitz, professor of law in the University of Maryland. We'll return with our program right after this. Tonight on A Taste of Torah, we're learning about the mitzvah of mezuzah. And this evening we're hearing from Rabbi Fravel Wagner and Rabbi Yitzhak Breidowitz. The role of the mezuzah in preserving our home and family is a matter that has been taken very seriously by Jews through the ages. In fact, even by non-Jews. Some of us may have had the experience when moving out of our home and selling it to a non-Jew of being asked to leave the mezuzah on the doorpost as a lucky charm that brings good fortune. However, we are told that if a non-Jew is moving in, the mezuzah should be removed because the non-Jew may mistreat, even desecrate the mezuzah, knowingly or unknowingly. Nevertheless, the rabbis have often exhibited a realization of the mezuzah's power, as Rabbi Breinowitz demonstrates.
We are told there are numerous stories where various tragedies happened to families. Children were dying, or perhaps there was some severe financial setback. Rabbis have then said, check your mezuzah and see if your mezuzah is kosher. Because a kosher mezuzah on the home affords that home spiritual protection, because it reinforces to each and every member of that home the fact that we have a special role to play, we have a special responsibility, and if one is cognizant of that responsibility, one gets the divine reward of blessing and protection. In Torah living, there is no dichotomy between the secular and the holy. One does not limit religious experience to isolated moments of the year, but rather, in every sphere of one's life, in every activity that one is engaged in, one must be aware that one is acting as a servant of God, and in accordance with that action, God will send us all a blessing and prosperity.
Though ridiculing those who view the mezuzah as no more than a charm, our sages, the Chazal, do detail many stories in which the power of the mezuzah was evident. The circumstances surrounding one such instance is relayed by Rabbi Wagner.
There's a famous story that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah quotes, the story of Unculus Hager. Unculus, who was a convert during the time of the Roman Empire, and was in fact part of the family, the nephew of the Roman Emperor himself. The Gemara tells us that when Unculus decided to convert, his uncle was very angry, and he sent a battalion of soldiers to try to bring him back to Rome and to make sure that he would not convert. The first time he sent them, Unculus began to speak to them, and was so convincing that they all decided to convert with him. Thereupon, the emperor sent another battalion of soldiers and told them under no circumstances should they enter into any conversation with Unculus. As Unculus was walking out the door, he touched the mezuzah. And when they questioned him as to what he was doing, he explained, "The normal habit in the world is that a human king, a king of flesh and blood, sits inside his palace and is guarded by many soldiers on the outside. However, when we deal with Hashem, when we deal with the king of the universe, there the opposite occurs. We sit on the inside of our homes, and this mezuzah represents the protection that God provides us, standing on the outside and guarding the gates." The soldiers were so taken with his answer that they too decided to convert together with Unculus. We see from this story, as well as from many other expressions by Chazal throughout the Gemara and also in the Zohar, that the mezuzah does provide protection. However, we cannot look upon this merely good luck charm or an amulet which provides protection to man, because in fact it is the idea behind the mezuzah, it is the very important lessons that the mezuzah represents that really provide protection to man. And sometimes if we are dependent merely on the physical mezuzah without really understanding what it is and inculcating its values into our lives, then that protection will not be there.
The mezuzah is affixed on the right-hand doorpost, as viewed when entering the room. The custom is to fix it diagonally upon the doorpost. This represents a compromise between two opinions among medieval scholars, that the mezuzah should lie horizontally or vertically. Why on the right doorpost? Because the word besecha, as in uchsavtam al mezuzas besecha, could also be read biascha, your entering. Since a person usually steps forward with his right foot first, he should then logically encounter the right doorpost before he reaches the left one. Shem Shmuel Hirsch notes in his classic work, Chorev, that the two paragraphs included in the mezuzah represent two different aspects of man's dependence on God, and the necessary realization that everything in the world emanates from Hashem. Rabbi Wagner continues.
The first parasha of Shema is almost completely in the second person. God commands us to do certain things. to have love of God, to study Torah, to teach our children, to wear tefillin, and finally to put on a mezuzah. And therefore Shema represents the aspect of what man should do in his life, how man should react to others. On the other hand, V'hoya Yishamoa relates what happens to man, whether it is the beginning of the parsha of V'hoya Yishamoa, in which man obeying the commandments of God is rewarded, or the second part of V'hoya Yishamoa, when man forgets God and has the dire punishments enumerated within the parsha come upon him. All this emanates from God, and what it's meant to teach us is that there are two aspects in our relationship. On the one hand, we have to look upon God in a very personal way. He speaks to each and every one of us and tells us how our lives should be lived. What is the proper way for man to live? And obviously, it's only the Creator of the world, the one who created us as well as everything else within the world, that can understand and can explain to us how we should live our lives. But on the other hand, there is the aspect of God in which He not only commands man, but also controls the events that happen to man throughout his history. Whether this is during our history in a very open way as the miracles of Egypt, or sometimes as in the miracle of Purim, in a way in which it's difficult for the average person to discern the hand of God, we have to realize that everything that happens to us comes from Hashem. So that whether it's in times of happiness and joy, we have to attribute those things that happen to us to God, and realize that it is only by living according to His Torah that we can hope to continue to have that happiness. Or, God forbid, in times of sorrow, in times of tragedy, we have to realize that God is trying to tell us something, that everything that does happen to us comes in some way from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself.
This message should not, however, be kept within ourselves, but should be permeated throughout the home, as Rabbi Wagner goes on to explain.
The mitzvah of mezuzah is a mitzvah that applies to our homes. And the word bayis, which is the word used in the verse cited previously in the commandment of the mezuzah, has another connotation as well. Our sages tell us that beiso zo ishto, that when the Torah uses the expression his home, it means very often his wife. And the term that is used for a family is b'nei beiso, the children, so to speak, of his home. So that I think the mitzvah of mezuzah, being the mitzvah that applies to the house, teaches us that not only must we apply the messages and the lessons of Torah to ourselves, but we have to make sure that it permeates our home, that our children, our entire family, see that this is the way that a person is supposed to live. And therefore, immediately following the pasuk, the verse of the mitzvah of the mezuzah, is the verse that says, "Leman yirbu yimeichem v'yimei v'neichem," in order that your days and the days of your children will be lengthened. If we are to be sure that our children will follow in our footsteps, then we have to make sure that the lessons of Torah and a life of Torah permeates our entire home.
We're tuned to a higher frequency. The Taste of Torah continues right after this. This evening on A Taste of Torah, we're learning about the mitzvah of mezuzah. And then tonight we're hearing from Rabbi Feivel Wagner and Rabbi Yitzchak Bradowitz. Before being put into its case, the mezuzah parchment is rolled up in such a way that when it is unraveled, the words Shema Yisrael are the first to appear. The affirmation of God's unity must be the first words to greet the Jew when he unwinds the mezuzah. There are opinions as to whether a mezuzah must be written the Shema, that is, with the express intent that it be used for this purpose only. Maimonides, the Rambam, argues that mezuzahs are purchased from many sources, and that it would be impractical to have to trace the writer of each one. Therefore, the Rambam asserts that such pure intentions are not a sine qua non. There is no such argument regarding a Sefer Torah and Tefillin, as all authorities agree that they must be written Lishma. The comparative leniency given to the mezuzah is based on it being a chovas habayis, an obligation on the house, as opposed to sefer Torah and tefillin, which are chovas haguf, personal obligations incumbent upon the individual. A Jew who has no house, for example, does not need a mezuzah. Thus, in an emergency, when insistence upon proving that the mezuzah was written lishma might lead to a long delay, or to the doorpost in question being left without a mezuzah altogether, there is no requirement for further research, and it may be assumed that the mezuzah was written lishma. The commandment of mezuzah in both paragraphs on the parchment is preceded by the commandment of putting on tefillin. Rabbi Wagner explains that the mitzvahs of mezuzah and tefillin complement each other.
The concept that in fact we enunciate every day before putting on our tefillin is that the tefillin that lie upon our arm and the tefillin that lie upon our head shows man's willingness to subjugate his intellect, the tefillin shorosh, the tefillin on the head, as well as his emotions, the tefillin on the arm, which are opposite the heart, his desires and his thoughts to Hashem in his service. Mezuzah, on the other hand, which we place on the home and not on the person, represents our wealth, our material possessions. And we state thereby that we are willing to subjugate all of our wealth and our material possessions once again to the service of Hashem. We realize that everything that we have in this world, everything that was given to us for the purpose of serving Him. And therefore, by putting the mezuzah on the door, we state emphatically that we are His willing servants, and that in fact everything that He has given us, we will use to serve Him. If we are to contrast the two, the tefillin and the mezuzah, the Yerushalmi tells us that when one cannot afford to buy both tefillin and mezuzah, which mitzvah comes first? It is the mitzvah of mezuzah that comes first. Because while the mitzvah of tefillin only applies at certain times, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, there is no mitzvah of tefillin. And in fact, according to some people, there's a mitzvah of tefillin at night as well. The mitzvah of mezuzah, however, is a constant mitzvah. It's something that is with us throughout the day. And in fact, even though we speak about the mezuzah as being that which protects our home, or as we have seen, not protection in a very infantile sense, but protection because it provides us with the lessons that make our home the type of home that a Jewish home is supposed to be. It not only provides that protection while we're in the home, but in fact provides it while we go out as well. The verse that the Gemara uses in the story of Unculus to present to us the idea that God provides His protection to us is Hashem Yishmor Tzeischo Uvalecho. God will guard over your going out and your coming in. That in fact the mezuzah, as the man leaves his home, as he leaves what we could see perhaps as the protection of an environment, a sheltered environment of Torah, and goes out into the world, he is reminded as he exits that gate, as he exits the door of his home, that he has to take the message of the mezuzah with him. The idea of God's protection, the idea of God's direction in life that he gives to man, and take that with him as he goes out into the world. The Rambam, in the last halacha, in the halachas of mezuzah, tells us that kol zman sheikones v'yetze, whenever man comes in and goes out, Yifka b'yichud shemo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he comes upon the oneness of the name of God. V'yizkor ahavaso, and he will remember the love that God has for him, and also the love that he is obligated to have towards God. V'yeyor mishnoso v'shigyosov b'havle hazman, and man should wake up from his sleep, from his slumber, from the mistakes that he makes. V'yeyda she'en dovo ha'omeg li'olam ro'me olamim,
He should in fact be reminded of those material possessions that he is about to enter or that he has exited from do not stand forever. And the only thing that stands forever is Yediyas Tzur HaOlam, the knowledge and the understanding of God and of the Torah that he has given us. Immediately upon reflecting upon those ideas, man comes back to the proper way of life and walks in the correct paths. My idea of mitzvah is not that it is a simple charm that in some way protects man, but that in fact it is a constant reminder of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the presence of God, and in this way gives man the protection throughout his life, a protection both in the physical but perhaps more so in the spiritual sense.
You give us 60 minutes and we'll give you the world to come. The Taste of Torah continues right after this. Tonight on A Taste of Torah, we're learning about the mitzvah of mezuzah. This evening, we're hearing from Rabbi Fivel Wagner and Rabbi Yitzchak Bradowitz. According to the Rambam, those who look upon the mezuzah purely as an amulet, a lucky charm for the household, are ignorant. In Hilchas Mezuzah, the Rambam states, those fools not only fail to fulfill the mitzvah itself, but they have taken a great mitzvah which involves the oneness of God and the reminder to love and worship Him, and treat it as though it were an amulet designed to benefit them personally. The rabbis have noted the custom these days of wearing, usually around the neck, small mezuzah-like charms. If they are intended merely as jewelry in the form of a Jewish symbol, similar to the Star of David or the Ten Commandments, or to identify the wearer as a Jew, there are generally no objections. If, however, the mezuzah is worn as a lucky charm, the rabbis do object. And under no circumstances should an authentic kosher mezuzah be worn. In the Passover story, God protected Jewish homes against the plague of the firstborn by having the Jewish people paint a stripe of blood on their doorposts, thus setting themselves apart. And still today, Jewish households remain apart and are elevated by the mezuzah on the doorpost. Before affixing the mezuzah to the doorpost, the following bracha is recited. Asher kidshanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu l'kiboa mezuzah. Blessed are you, Hashem, King of the Universe, who has sanctified us with commandments and commanded us to affix a mezuzah. Inscribed on the outside of the parchment as well as on the case of the mezuzah is God's name spelled in Hebrew, Shin Dalet Yud. The significance of this particular reference to Hashem as it relates to the mezuzah is twofold. According to the Kabbalists, this name of God serves as a protection against demons, similar in lettering and sound to the divine name of Shin Dalet Yud, which, by the way, we do not normally pronounce in its complete format of reverence. Another explanation interprets the three letters separately. Shin stands for Shomer, guardian, Dalet for Delasos, doors, and Yud, Yisrael, Israel. We earlier mentioned similarities and contrasts between the mezuzah and tefillin. Well, on the tefillin too, Hashem's name of Shin, Dalet, Yud is spelled out through the straps on the arm and head and the box worn on the head. Rabbi Bradowitz cites Rashi's explanation of the association between this name of Hashem and the wearing of tefillin and other mitzvahs.
Rashi comments, when the Torah uses the name Shakai, that Shakai is actually an abbreviation for a phrase which means Sha'amar La'olamo Gai, that God said to this world, it is enough. And Rashi explains that when God originally created the world and initiated the processes of creation, the world would have just kept on developing and developing and developing on its own because of God's instruction, and God finally had to order the world to finally stop. Sha'amar la'olamo dai. God said to the world, it is enough, it is time for you to cease your development. What is the inner connotation of God giving the world this order? And this is that God wanted human beings in general, and the Jewish people specifically, to have a share in the perfection of the world. It is the role of the Jew to bring Kedusha, to bring holiness and perfection to an imperfect world. So God instructed the world to stop at a certain point, so that the human being can now become, as it were, a partner with God in the further development and perfection of the world. So the name Shakai, which connotes God stopping the creation to enable man in general and the Jewish people in particular to have a share in the further development of creation, indicates on a very deep level the fact that man has the capacity to relate to God. Man has the capacity to be an active partner with God in the creation of the world by bringing Kedusha, by bringing holiness and purity into this world through the doing of mitzvahs, commandments, and the fulfillment of God's will. Therefore, of all the names of God, this is the one name that appears on Tefillin, because this, of all other names, indicates not God's distance and separation from us, but conversely, our closeness to God and our ability in some small way to actually imitate God by becoming partners in the creation of and perfection of this universe. And this is why the name Shakai is also used in connection with the other mitzvah that is called an os, called a sign, and that is circumcision. Because there too, God did not create man to be circumcised. God created man with a physical imperfection, which the human being must then remove, because God wanted us to feel that we too have the capacity to perfect that which is imperfect, and in some small level attach ourselves to God. And this is the name Shakai, the Shin Dalad Yud, that appears on the tefillin. Again, the Shin and the Dalad appear on the head tefillin, and the Yud is the knot that appears on the hand tefillin. So tefillin and mezuzah taken together are the tangible symbols that remind us that in Torah living there is no dichotomy between the secular and the holy. One does not limit religious experience to isolated moments of the year, but rather in every sphere of one's life, in every activity that one is engaged in, one must be aware that one is acting as a servant of God, and in accordance with that action, God will send us all a blessing and prosperity.
We're glad you were able to join us for a taste of Torah, and we hope you'll join us each Sunday evening when we'll be bringing stimulating and challenging topics of Torah interest into your home. People you want to hear from and subjects you want to hear about. A Taste of Torah is an ER production on rights reserved. Unauthorized duplication of this broadcast is a violation of applicable laws. A Taste of Torah was written by David Jablinowitz. Administrative assistant is Shelley Berger. I'm Zalman Omlis. Good night.